Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
James 5:16 says to confess our sins to one another so that we may be healed. Have you ever wondered how that works? What kind of healing, exactly? And who do you have to confess to? Confession brings healing. And verse 16 couldn't be more clear. Confession brings healing. Therefore, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Confession brings healing. Now, how does that work? How does confession result in healing? Well, several ways. For one thing, it relieves the guilt. Unresolved guilt and secret sin can do all kinds of damage to your body physically. Psalm 32, you remember when David was not confessing his sin and he had secret sin? It affected him. Psalm 32:3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Unconfessed sin can take a toll on your body physically. And medical research actually bears that out. You know, every once in a while science actually catches up with Scripture. And studies have shown that ongoing, unresolved guilt feelings will weaken the immune system and make you more susceptible to all kinds of sicknesses and actually decrease your mental abilities, your ability to do problem solving and all that. But where there's confession, those medical problems go away. They found the same thing is true with broken relationships. Karsten Warsch, professor at Concordia University, in his studies found that ongoing bitterness toward someone else puts your body in a kind of a high-stress mode just around the clock, 24/7, and your body wasn't designed for that, so it messes you up. It results in all kinds of sicknesses. Dr. Charles Risen from Emory University found that when you're bitter towards someone, and these are all unbelieving researchers here, this is just science, but this is when you're bitter towards someone, the damage that's done to your heart and other internal organs, that damage is just as severe as if you were just chain smoking. It's the same as smoking. It affects hormones, your autoimmune system, metabolism, blood pressure, organ function, can result in panic attacks. And in some cases, it actually causes hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is the thickening of the muscles in the heart, and that can be fatal. All from bitterness. Just from bitterness. And they found similar results when they studied hypocrisy. Dr. David Engelman is a neuroscientist at Baylor College of Medicine, and he says this: when you have a secret, some secret sin, there's an actual physical conflict. He didn't say sin, because he said wrong in quotes, because he didn't know if there even is wrong. But he says when you have some secret thing that you're ashamed of, there's an actual physical conflict in your brain between the part that wants to tell and the part that doesn't. And it's a physical thing. And he says your brain does not enjoy this stress. Those living duplicitous lives, he said, live with the stress of keeping a whole section of their life secret from the people they see every day. The fact that their brains are marinated with stress hormones impairs the body's ability to remain healthy. And it's interesting, the solution they found in all these studies is confession. James Pennebaker of the University of Texas used blood tests and EEG measurements to examine the physical effects of confession on people, and he found that the test subjects, if they would confess their secrets to a doctor, or even if they just wrote it down for someone to read later, it decreased measurably decreased the level of stress hormones in the body, and those people had fewer health problems. And beyond all that medical, physical stuff that comes from confession is the spiritual side. Confession brings healing just simply because it removes the need for chastisement, right? God doesn't have to chastise you anymore. If you're sick because of the sin and you confess the sin and you're repentant, now you don't need to be sick anymore. You don't need it to be chastised anymore, and so God can remove that discipline. In 1 Corinthians 11, when the people, you know, they were sinning against God by the way that they were taking communion, and so God, because of that sin, he was judging them with sickness. 1 Corinthians 11:30. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. See, if we would just judge our own hearts, find our own sin, confess it, and repent of it, then God wouldn't need to send sickness into our lives to get our attention. So you confess to bring healing just by removing the need for the sickness. Confession brings physical and spiritual healing, and not just to the individual, but to the whole body of Christ. And here's one reason why that's true, is because it stops the fighting. Right? It ends the fight. Remember who James is writing to, these churches. These people are having sinful responses to suffering. Remember, the pressure is heating up, and so they're getting on each other's nerves, and they're having these sinful responses of fighting. When the pressure came, they became impatient with each other, and they started judging each other, speaking against each other, quarreling, fighting, all the normal sinful responses that happen when pressure heats up, and the way that the response of your flesh tends to be when there's suffering. So in this closing section of James, the solution, he's giving us the solution to fighting in the church. This is James' solution to church fights. And a big part of that solution is mutual confession of sin. That'll heal the church. Why? Well, because it stops the fight, right? That'll stop a fight in a hurry. When I stop focusing on the other guy's sin, I start focusing on my own sin, and I humbly confess to him, that'll take the fight right out of him. We're not going to be fighting anymore after that, especially when I not only confess, but I ask him to pray for me. Please, ask God to have mercy on me because of this sin I committed against you. I deserve to have some consequences. Would you pray for me? That's going to take the fight away. See, it could be that the guy back in verse 14 that got sick, it might be that he got sick because he was one of the ones back in chapter 2 who was showing favoritism to the rich. And he needed to confess that. He needed to go to those people and confess, I was wrong to treat you like a second-class citizen. I was wrong to say to you, go be warmed and well-fed and not do anything to actually help you. That was sin. Please forgive me. Those people in chapter 3, they need to just fess up and say, I was wrong. I was seeking that position to be a teacher out of envy and selfish ambition and pride, and that was the sinful motive of my heart, and I was wrong to do that. I caused all that fighting and all that conflict in the church and that disorder and everything because of my selfish ambition. That was wrong. I was wrong to have the envy. I was wrong to have the worldly wisdom that caused the conflicts. Those people in chapter 4, they need to confess their fighting and their quarreling and their selfish desires and their love for the world and their boasting and their judgmentalism. The rich people in chapter 5, they need to confess their love for money and their oppression of the poor. The poor people in chapter 5, they need to confess their grumbling against one another and their impatience. All this confession needed to happen. If all those people did that, what do you think would happen to all the fights and arguments in the church? They'd be gone. The last two verses of the book of James are all about how to restore someone who's wandered into sin. We're going to learn that in a couple of weeks. But before you can do that, before you can restore them, you got to deal with your own sin. Didn't Jesus teach us that, Sermon on the Mount? Didn't he say that before you go up to your brother and just say, oh, you got a little something in your eye there, let me help you with that, you got to get the phone pole out of your own eye? Amen. What would it do to your heart, if the next time you got into it with somebody, you got into some conflict with somebody in the church, that person just broke down, just stopped, broke down, and said, you know what, I'm sorry, I just sinned against you. In the way that I was talking just now, I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? What would that do to your heart? What would you do if they said, you know what, I just sinned against you, would you please go to God in prayer and ask him to have mercy on me for sinning against you? What would that do to your heart? And then you would pray, wouldn't you? You would ask God for mercy. And what would happen in the church? How would it affect you if the next time you and your spouse got into a fight, if your spouse did that? Or more to the point, how would it affect your spouse if you did it? Let's make it a contest. Who can confess first?
Is it possible that there is some chastisement going on in your life right now because of unconfessed sin? Maybe you confessed it to God, but you haven't confessed it to the person or people you hurt. If you're in a conflict with someone, the thought of confessing your sin to that person might feel terrifying. Everything in you says, no, if I do that, they'll just use it against me. They'll take it as proof that they're in the right, and they aren't. Well, maybe they will do that. Most of the time, when you confess your wrongdoing to the person you're in a fight with, it softens them. But not always. Sometimes they will just use it against you and use it to justify their own wrongdoing. But that's not your concern. Let God worry about that. If they respond in a bad way, God will deal with them. But you'll have a clear conscience before God, and that's what matters. Coming out on top in your conflict with the person is not what will bring joy into your life. Being right with God will. So if there's someone who has been hurt by your sin, and you have access to that person, but you haven't confessed your sin to them and sought their forgiveness and asked them to pray for you, make plans right now to get that done. Don't procrastinate. Get it done as soon as possible so that you can draw near to God. Heavenly Father, is there someone I need to confess to? Some issue I've overlooked? If so, please, bring it to my mind. Show me anything that I need to make right. I don't want anything to hinder my fellowship with you, dear Lord. I want to drink from your river of delights unhindered. I want grace upon grace to rain down on my life from your generous hand. I don't want anything to provoke your displeasure or discipline on my life. Awaken me to the things that I've desensitized myself to. As painful as the confession might be, I know how good it will feel to have a clean conscience before you. Give me the strength to get there. And for those who have sinned against me, show me how to be the kind of person that it's easy to confess to. Make me a person of grace and mercy and gentleness so that those who sin against me will feel confident that they can confess to me and receive my love.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.